We have finished our series that we've been doing on the book Grounded, wrestling with where is God in the world, and looking at a new series for the next 6 weeks where we're going to be looking at seeking God in the church. We've talked about in the world, but then how do we find God in the church? And maybe some of that is we don't find God in the church, which is why a lot of people, I think, have stopped coming to church. And so we'll be wrestling with that in the next couple weeks, specifically looking at sacraments, baptism, and communion, and what that means when we worship and come together looking for God's presence as a community. So this morning we are beginning with Colossians chapter 1, which talks about how the invisible truth of God is made visible. Or the word sacrament, which is the expression of the invisible graces of God made visible for us. Or as Calvin said, it is the outward manifestation of an inward grace. Now, if I have overwhelmed you and confused you, I'm not going to say good. I won't apologize. But it is confusing. We're talking about the mystery of God that is bigger than words, bigger than a moment, and yet so intimate that we can know it. And so that's what we're beginning with today. And so we're going to be reading from Colossians 1, and we're also going to be hearing a testimony from Linda Davis, which points to that mystery of how we know the depth and breadth and greatness of God in an intimate way. So I invite you to listen for the word of God in Scripture from Colossians chapter 1. If you get confused as I'm reading, don't worry. It is a hard reading. And then I invite you also to be listening for the word of God and Linda's testimony today. So as we begin to listen to Scripture and then to listen to Linda, I want to invite you to some silence that we can be giving thanks to God for God's word in the Scripture, but also for God's word that we'll be hearing through Linda's words, praying for Linda, giving thanks for Linda, praying for courage for her, because it can be scary to be up here even if you know everybody. And so make sure you give some smiles. I know I'm always looking for smiles that give me energy. So we ask, Holy Spirit, for you to give us ears with which to hear, because we know that you are already present. So listen for the word of God. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, we're on page 1142, Colossians chapter 1. This is one of the later books of Paul. It's written to a group of churches in Colossae, which is an ancient name for parts of Turkey. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and that you may please God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom God loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to God's self all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. And this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the word of the Lord. So a big thank you to Linda for sharing with us this morning.
Well, when I was growing up, my family moved around a bit. My dad was a mechanical engineer, and he worked first at hydroelectric power plants and then later for the Civilian Army Corps of Engineers. But wherever we were, we always went to fairly conservative evangelical Baptist-type churches. And when I say went, we really went. If the church doors were open, we were there. Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday Bible study, when we were older, Friday youth group. And then if there sometimes there were extra services, like week-long revivals. And then at home, we read the Bible through every year. In college, when I also then was very active in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. But after college, when I started working, I made some attempts to find a church home, but nothing really clicked easily. And I think on some level, I had just had enough church. You can understand why. Culturally, socially, if anything during my childhood happened that I don't know about, you know, I don't have like the reference for, that means it happened on either a Sunday night or Wednesday night. Like the moon landing, didn't see it. Happened on a Sunday night. But I still believed. I still prayed. I would even have religious arguments once in a while with people I encountered, and I would be on the pro-God side. But my beliefs, they were definitely evolving past the conservative evangelical teachings of my youth. I think some of that was also that, obviously I'm a pretty strong feminist. In my degree in college was chemical engineering. There's not a huge number of women in that field. So even in university, but then definitely in the workplace, you have to stand up for yourself. The teachings in the churches that we went to didn't really mesh with that. In fact, they kind of twisted themselves into pretzels to show how the women should remain second-class citizens according to the Bible. And I could see that they were doing that. And yet, other times, they would very easily dismiss things in the Bible saying, oh, that's just a cultural thing of the times. And I think at the time, I couldn't quite put that into words of how it seemed odd that this one thing couldn't be dismissed as, oh, that was a cultural thing of the times, but this other thing could be. But as I grew older, and maybe with some distance, I could see that, well, that doesn't seem fair. And yet, there's verses that, you know, we're neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, we're all one in Jesus Christ, that then they have a different explanation for. So my beliefs were definitely evolving. Like I said, I definitely still believed. So when Maya was about, when she was young, 2 to 3, my husband and I were separated, and I realized that I needed some support. And so I sent out to find a church home. I visited a couple that were nearby, and I decided that College Avenue was the one for me. And I started coming here and bringing Maya. And I had already decided this was the one, but I don't know, maybe it was like, in case I was doubting at all. There was one Sunday that Maya and I were sitting in one of these front pews here, and she was being a typical young kid and making a little bit of noise. I don't remember even why, you know, but just a little. And Bill was preaching, and he said something to the effect of, isn't it wonderful to hear the voices of young kids, young children in the service? And for just a second, I had to stop and wonder if he was being true, because I had too many years of those other churches under my belt where that would have been a passive-aggressive way to say, shut your kid up, you know, because kids should be seen and not heard. But knowing Bill, I knew that he really did mean that. And that was, you know, like, that sealed it, that this is our church. Because that was wonderful, that my kid being a little noisy was like added to the service, you know? What, that was great. So the two things I guess I want to bring from all of that is, when I was looking for a church, I didn't even know that that's what I was looking for, but it was grace, because that had been what I was missing at the churches growing up, because they were very big on judgment, but they weren't big on grace, and that was grace. Wanting you as you are. And I find that here. And I find it seems like that's what Jesus is offering us. And the other thing is, the good thing out of all that church going and reading the Bible every year is I did get to know the Bible really well. And there is truth in it. And that stayed with me, luckily, out of all of the crap of the teaching in the church that wasn't good. There's a saying, truth will out. And that's true, because the teachings of the Bible did stay with me, and I'm very, very glad for that.
We're going to take a moment of silence just to kind of hold on to all of the words from Paul and Linda, two great apostles, trying to capture what grace is. During that silence, I invite you to reflect on that and also to give thanks. Thanks to God for showing up. Thanks to Linda for her courage. The book of Revelation has the image of Jesus knocking on the door. And it's not about him being locked out or finding the wrong address. Rather, the scripture is about Jesus saying that he is knocking and that if you open, he will come in and you will understand. That's what we celebrate in the scripture of Colossians and in the story of Linda's testimony. And it's what we sing of as we sing together this spiritual and prepare to come to the table this morning. So let us stand as we are able.